Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. How much pressure will Ireland come under to drop its objections to the Mercosur trade deal? The deal is estimated to be worth €49 billion to the European economy. It would see a 39% increase in EU exports to Mercosur countries, including Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay and Uruguay. But Ireland opposes it because of fears that it will see a flood of South American beef into the European market, harming the Irish beef industry. Well, we're joined now on the line by the Agriculture Minister, Martin Hayden. Minister, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon.
The Taoiseach told the business lobby group IBEC on Thursday that the government will always be pro-trade, and he said, where new trade agreements are available and are balanced, then it is in Ireland's interest to ratify them as quickly as possible. How can you be pro-trade and opposed to a trade agreement like Mercosur?
Well, in any trade agreement, countries will always have their offensive and their defensive positions, and there'll be elements of trade deals that are positive and some that can be negative. And by and large, Ireland and our agricultural sector has benefited greatly from trade. So it doesn't come easy to me as a Minister for Agriculture or as a Fine Gael TD for the last 14 years to oppose trade deals. But there are elements of the Mercosur trade deal that are really problematic for us, that I've consistently raised, that government has consistently raised, and that we continue to highlight at a European level, along with the Taoiseach, who has lead responsibility for trade policy. I too have actively engaged with both the European Commission and my fellow councillors, my fellow members of the Agri-Fish Council, the other 26 ministers for agriculture. I'm speaking to you currently from Copenhagen here, where I'm attending the Agri-Fish Council meeting, and I'll be engaging with those counterparts, in particular from the countries that share our concerns around the Mercosur trade deal. You know, the fact is that we've repeatedly emphasised that Ireland's requirements for credible, legally binding commitments on matters relating to the trade and sustainable development, including areas like biodiversity and deforestation protections, are really important. And government continues to have concerns on the preferential access being given to Mercosur countries if South American farmers are not subject to the same sustainable farming standards as our own. So it's, you know, we are analysing the proposal that has been made during the week. It's very detailed. There is the proposal for a legal instrument. We have questions as to how that would interact with the agreement, but we continue to do as was outlined in the programme for government, a commitment to work with like-minded countries that share their concerns. And that's why I'll be having meetings with my Polish counterpart here tomorrow, and I look forward to discussing again Mercosur with particularly my French and Italian counterparts as well.
You mentioned there the legal instrument. This is a safeguard built into the agreement. It's a review which would be triggered if it was found that too much South American beef was suspected of flooding any part of the EU. Is that going to be enough? Do you accept that at least there are safeguards built in?
They've come with more safeguards, but we need to see at what level they would kick in and how they would work. But we've repeatedly said that beef in particular is a very sensitive sector, which is vulnerable to negative impacts from the Mercosur agreement. And as I say, we note the Commission's announcement during the week of the proposal. We're going through it in detail. But in terms of our concerns around that, and ultimately, this is the culmination of a vote of the Trade Council in probably around November time this year. We will still continue to engage with other countries who I have had a lot of common ground with, in particular France, Italy and Poland, with our concerns around the Mercosur trade deal and, you know, engaging with those countries. There are some rumours that some of that opposition from those countries is weakening. If we were to be successful in opposing the deal, if that was the decision to be made, you would need a minimum of 4 EU member states, and they would have to come up with at least 35% of the population of the EU. So it's a high bar. And if one of those larger populations of France or Italy were to fall away from opposition, then that would make opposing the deal much more difficult to get over the line. So we're still going through the proposals.
Okay.
But we stick with our current programme for government position, that we still have those concerns, and we continue to work with like-minded countries who share them.
Has Donald Trump and his tariffs not changed the game here and not changed Ireland's position? I mean, isn't it even more vital than ever before that Ireland has access to new markets in South America as North America and the United States of American markets close up?
Absolutely. Trade deals are hugely important, and Ireland and Irish agriculture has greatly benefited from the majority of trade deals the EU has done. I've always said Mercosur has been a particularly sensitive one for our sector. But, and you know, you need trade deals to benefit you more than they discommode you, and every trade deal will have pros and cons. But, you know, I've travelled extensively as Minister for Agriculture and previously as Minister of State in the Department with responsibility for New Market Development. And I've seen firsthand the benefit of trade deals with places like Japan, China, particularly over in Southeast Asia, and those countries. And there are great opportunities that we are pursuing. And from an agricultural perspective, we want to get a broad range of countries that we have access to, and have that opportunity for our Irish food companies. But the undermining of there's the economic impact of Mercosur, but there also is the undermining of what our Irish farmers are doing, the very high environmental standards that Irish farmers and European standards are adhering to.
And the concern they have is that cheaper beef from South America would come into the European market and would threaten the viability of Irish beef farmers. But like, according to one analysis from an EU source quoted in the Irish Times, the amount of South American beef coming into the EU market would equate to about 2 steaks or hamburgers per European per year. That's not flooding the market, is it?
So currently there are about 200,000 tonnes of Mercosur beef that comes into Europe. The difference is it comes in at a very high tariff rate. And what the Mercosur trade agreement is proposing is that 99,000 tonnes of that over a period of time would come in at a much lower TRQ or tariff rate. You know, the analysis is that it would be a financial hit of around €50 million to our beef industry. But I make the point to you as well that it isn't just the financial impact, which would be very significant. It is the impact on our farmers who are, you know, taking on the extra cost and burden of higher environmental standards. Yet, if those environmental standards aren't of the same level for other third countries who are important into the EU, that's a very difficult rationale for Irish farmers to accept, while saying that food standards and SPS standards are different and there's a lot more safeguards there in relation to them. So we're not talking about food safety, we're more talking about the environmental impact, the impact on deforestation, the impact on our environment.
Can I turn to matters political, because you're the Director of Elections for Heather Humphreys' presidential campaign, but you're also the Minister for Agriculture, and there is a story in the Sunday Times today outlining how a former Department of Agriculture official has said that he believes an intervention by Heather Humphreys prompted the collapse of a criminal investigation into a farmer who was accused of animal cruelty in 2020. Heather Humphreys, as we know, and as Sandra has outlined to us earlier, received a letter from a constituent, and her office passed that letter on to the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture subsequently dropped its investigation into that animal cruelty case. Heather Humphreys has said she had nothing to do with the decision to drop the investigation. What's your response to the claim by that former official in the Department of Agriculture that Heather Humphreys' intervention in this case was significant and was what prompted the decision to drop that investigation?
Well, this issue was well aired 5 years ago. It was the subject of a number of parliamentary questions and a debate at the Public Accounts Committee, actually, at one stage. So it's not something that has happened in my time in the department. And I don't know the individual who spoke to the Sunday Times, who previously worked in the department, who is speculating as to what was the cause of that case not being pursued. But I do know the most senior official in my department, the Secretary General, who was the person who was questioned about this at the Public Accounts Committee. He's still the Secretary General today. He was 5 years ago in 2020 when he was before the Public Accounts Committee as well. And he is categorically on the record as saying that there was no representation on this case. The Minister's office, constituency office, received the letter. It forwarded on. There was no representation. There was no letter with it advocating for anything that was in it. It literally was being sent to the line department that had the responsibility in this area. And I would say, look, we take animal welfare really, really seriously in the Department of Agriculture. It's a huge responsibility for us. But every case is different, and we can't talk about individual cases as such as to why decisions are made around them for very obvious reasons. But what I can say to you is that every case is treated on its merits, and there's a number of reasons why a case wouldn't lead to prosecution, because my officials have to undertake, you know, an analysis of, have the issues that have been faced, have they been resolved? Are there human factors and compassionate grounds that need to be considered? What is the likelihood of being successful?
Those
are all different decisions that are in the mix as to why a case would pursue or not.
In relation to this case then, I mean, can you say what the reason was why that investigation did not proceed?
No, because this is a process that is independent of a minister. It is one that is taken on board by the officials in my department. But I say this in the context of the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine having issued 181 successful prosecutions under the Animal Welfare Act since it was enacted, with 30 of those 181 prosecutions involving sentences of imprisonment. So there is a very strong approach from my department to animal welfare, as there should be. But there are a variety of different reasons as to why a case would not be pursued to the courts.
And the Sunday Times today says that there were internal inquiries carried out in the Department of Agriculture in the aftermath of the decision not to proceed with this case to see what lessons could be learned. Will you be publishing those inquiries so that people could be confident that the decisions were taken without political interference?
Yeah, I would have no problem with that. It is a matter for my department in relation to as any sensitivities around GDPR and data. But like, it's important that people understand what happened here. A letter was received in a constituency office. The constituency office forwarded that letter on to the department so that they could examine it without any representations with it or any comment on what was in it. There was no supporting documentation or anything like that with it. This would be quite similar that if a letter went to the Department of Health that was all about children, what would the department do? Only the Department of Health would forward that letter to the Department of Children because they're the appropriate department to consider the merits of whatever is in that letter. And that's what has happened in this case.
And you'd have no problem then publishing the inquiries that were carried out internally within your department to find out what lessons could be learned from this case?
I'm sure it was reviewed. I don't know if there was an inquiry. That I'm not aware of.
Internal review then.
Yeah, I'm not sure what process took place in that time, but I've no issue with that. Obviously, the sensitivity of the individuals involved, certain people have put their own names in the paper today, but like, there are data protection considerations there that my officials have to bear in mind. But this is an open and shut case. This is very clear. The Secretary General, the most senior official in my department, is on the record in the Public Accounts Committee, having answered about this 5 years ago. So this isn't something that I would have any difficulty in sharing information about.
Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden, thank you very much for speaking with us this afternoon.